And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. In reading through this morning's gospel lesson, I was reminded of that very poignant scene from the life of John the Baptist. That scene where, having run afoul of King Herod, John found himself arrested and locked away in a desert fortress. The story goes that as he lay there languishing in isolation and facing the prospect of imminent death, John began to have some serious doubts. He began to wonder if perhaps he had been wrong about Jesus. I mean, after all, nothing was going his way. Nothing was going as he had planned. And naturally, the last thing that he wanted to discover, especially if his own life and ministry were coming to a close, was that he had been wrong all along, that all of his labors and all of his efforts had been in vain. And so in desperation, we're told, John sent a messenger to the Lord, a messenger with the question, are you the one, or should we wait for another? John was basically seeking reassurance. He was basically saying, tell me, Jesus, did I get it right? Are you who we imagined you to be, that long-promised, long-anticipated Messiah? Tell us, are you who I declared you to be, that Lamb of God who will take away the sin of the world? As I said, it is a very moving and poignant scene, almost heartrending. The great John the Baptist, hero of the faith, filled with perplexity and seeking reassurance. Well, how did Jesus respond? What was the Lord's reply to this request for reassurance? It's actually quite amazing. The gospel says, turning to the messenger, Jesus said, you go and you tell John what you see and what you hear. Tell him the blind receive their sight, the lame leap for joy, the deaf hear. Tell him that the dead are raised, lepers are cleansed, and the poor have the good news preached to them. Yes, you go, Jesus said, and tell John, blessed is he who does not take offense or fall away on account of me. The proof, you see, that Jesus really was who he claimed to be, the proof that he really was the Messiah, was to be found in the things that he was doing, in his miraculous works of restoration, his healing of the blind, his raising of people from the dead, his cleansing of lepers. These were his credentials. These were the proof of his messiahship. Well, this morning, my friends, we have before us one of these miraculous works, one of Jesus' credentials, the cleansing of 10 lepers on the border of Samaria. It is a familiar story to most of us, but it is a story that, in spite of the passage of time, continues to speak to us with power and with relevance, revealing Jesus' true nature and identity. And it is, therefore, a story that is worthy of our closest attention. So let's take a look at it this morning. The scene opens, Luke says, with Jesus and his disciples making their way south toward Jerusalem and journeying along the border between Galilee and Samaria. The exact location of this event is significant. Israel in the first century could basically be divided into two parts. There was the region of Galilee to the north, and there was the region of Judea in and around Jerusalem to the south. And sandwiched between these two was a swath of land known as Samaria. Now, to most Jews of the first century, Galilee was itself, that northern region, suspect territory. Historically, it had always been the point of entry for invading armies in their campaigns to take Jerusalem. Furthermore, Galilee had a somewhat mixed population. There were a fair number of Jews living in the land, to be sure, and this was considered Jewish territory. But there was also a high percentage of Greeks in the land. In fact, Galilee was sometimes referred to as Galilee of the Gentiles. So this was, for many Jews, as I said, suspect territory. But while Galilee was viewed with a certain degree of suspicion, let me tell you, Samaria, just to the south, was viewed with outright hatred. The Samaritans were a people whose religion was actually a corruption of Judaism. Centuries before, Jews living in the land had intermarried with pagan peoples in violation of the law. And they had adopted many of these pagan practices and pagan beliefs. To pure-blooded Jews, they were regarded as collaborators, traitors, half-breeds, and unclean. As much as a Jew of the first century would have hated a Gentile, let me tell you, he hated the Samaritans even more. Well, it's interesting to note that Jesus spent the greater part of his earthly ministry in this suspect region, there in Galilee, and even there on the border of Samaria. And it was here, Luke says, that he encountered these 10 men that we have before us today. 10 men who were afflicted with leprosy. Now, in the ancient world, leprosy was by far the most dreaded of all physical ailments. It normally started off, innocently enough, as a small white spot on the skin. But it would eventually grow, eventually attacking the nerve endings and consuming the flesh itself, until the poor sufferer was left with nothing but the stub of a hand or a foot. It was a terrible illness, it was an incurable illness, and it was thought to be highly communicable. The result being that most lepers were banished from society. They were torn away from their families and from their friends, from their wives and husbands and children, and they were forced to live alone, in isolation. And as bad as the physical aspects were, let me tell you, the psychological aspects were even worse. There was a high level of shame and guilt that was associated with leprosy. Many people believed that you were under the judgment of God. Lepers had to wear rags denoting their status in society, and if anybody who was healthy got anywhere near them, they had to shout out a warning at the top of their lungs, "Unclean! Unclean!" To be diagnosed with leprosy in the first century was quite literally to be consigned to a living death. Even here in this marginal area, even here in this land of outcasts, these 10 lepers would have been regarded as the bottom of the barrel, as the bottom rung people, as the untouchables. And yet Luke says it was these untouchables, these bottom rung people, who came seeking an audience with Jesus. Now why? They knew the rules, they knew the regulations, they knew that for a leper to have contact with a clean person was punishable by death. So why did they come seeking Jesus? Well, the answer is to be found in their cry. Luke says when they found Jesus, they stood at a distance and lifted up their voices saying, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." Or more correctly, "Jesus, Master, have compassion on us." The word, you see, was out that this Jesus of Nazareth was a man of compassion. He was a man who had a heart for the afflicted and for the hurting. He was a man who supposedly opened the eyes of the blind, proclaimed good news to the poor, and most importantly for them, cleansed lepers. Indeed, rumor had it that this Jesus of Nazareth actually did the unthinkable and reached out and touched the untouchables. For that is precisely what Jesus had done on an earlier occasion in this same gospel. When a leper had come to him seeking mercy, we're told that Jesus actually reached out and touched the afflicted man. It was an act of unspeakable kindness. Because remember, the thought was that this was a communicable disease. The belief was that you could pass your uncleanness to another. And yet on this occasion, just the opposite happened. Rather than this man's uncleanness passing to Jesus, Jesus' cleanness passed to the man, and the leper was healed. Ah, well, put yourself in the place of these 10 lepers on the border of Samaria. For years, perhaps for decades, they had not known another human being's touch. They had not felt the kiss of their wife upon their cheek. They had not known what it was like to hold a child's hand in their own as they walked along the street. But now there was the rumor that there was this one who had compassion for people like them, this one who would reach out and touch and make them whole. And they wanted to know if Jesus would do it again. This is the first thing that I want us to learn from this morning's gospel lesson. I want us to understand that Jesus Christ is a man of tremendous compassion. He has a heart for the lost. He has a heart for the afflicted and for those who are hurting. He came into this world to save such people. He did it then, and he still does it. Do you know there's not a single incident anywhere in the New Testament where somebody came to Jesus Christ seeking mercy and compassion and was turned away empty-handed? Not a single incident. The whole reason Luke includes this particular story of the cleansing of the 10 lepers on the border of Samaria, my friends, is because not only is it a picture of Christ's ability to heal physically, it is that, but it is so much more than that. It is a picture of Christ's ability to cleanse people spiritually. For the Bible teaches that we are all, every single one of us, lepers. We are all afflicted with a deadly disease, and it's called sin. And just like physical leprosy, it has the power to separate us from God and to separate us from our fellow man. And if it goes unchecked, it has the ability not merely to destroy us physically, but to destroy us spiritually. And yet the wondrous message of the Christian gospel is that there is one who's come into our situation who has compassion, limitless compassion. And the promise is that if we will just bring our broken, soiled, fallen, diseased lives before him, he will reach out as he did so long ago and make us whole and make us clean. It may be the case that today you are carrying some burden of guilt or shame in your life. Many of us do. For things that we did or things that we failed to do, nobody else perhaps knows about them. But they are there. And if you long to be rid of that, then come as those 10 lepers did and bring your burden before the Lord. He has compassion for you. He came into the world to save sinners. He will reach out and he will make you clean. That's the first thing to notice. Jesus is a man of great compassion for the hurting. But there is something else here. At this point in the narrative, you will notice that the focus shifts somewhat. It shifts away from an emphasis upon the compassion of Jesus to an emphasis upon the word of Jesus. Luke says that having heard their entreaty, Jesus then turned to the 10 lepers and said, "Go and show yourself to the priest." That is to say, be on your way. I've heard your cry. I'm going to grant your request. Now go. But what's odd is that on this occasion, you'll notice there's no touching. There's no physical contact like that previous occasion. And of course, that's what they came for, that Jesus might touch them and make them whole. But the text is very clear. The 10 stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, and Jesus made no attempt to close the gap. He simply said, go and show yourselves to the priest. Now, why is that? Why didn't Jesus touch these men? He obviously was not afraid to touch lepers. Well, obviously, this was some sort of a test. It was a test of faith. Jesus was saying, I am prepared to heal you, but in order for you to be healed, you are going to have to take me at my word, and you are going to have to act on my word. See, that's the true essence of faith. Faith is not simply believing in something, it is believing on something. That's why the Bible says without faith it is impossible to please God. Do you remember that one occasion where Jesus went to his hometown of Nazareth and was rejected by the people? The scripture says he could do no great work among them because of their lack of faith. Well, Jesus was prepared to heal these 10 lepers, but they were going to have faith in him and faith in his word, and they were going to have to act on it. Jesus didn't need to do something dramatic. They simply needed to obey his word. Well, did they? Apparently so. Because we're told that as they set off on their way toward the priest's house, they were cleansed. I would have loved to have been there. I would have loved to have been there on that occasion. I don't know who recognized it first, but somebody did. Somebody must have felt a tingling or something had changed. Somebody noticed that their flesh had been restored. And before long, they were all tearing through those rags to discover what Christ had done for them. Those who had lost digits suddenly discovered that fingers had been restored. Those who had been stumbling along on the stump of a foot suddenly discovered that feet were back. Can you imagine what that meant for them? It was not just the restoration of physical health. It was the restoration of their lives. It was life from the grave. And merely because they were obedient to Christ's word. This is the second thing that I want us to notice this morning. Christ's word is sufficient. We are living in an age in which everybody wants signs and wonders. We want God to do something dramatic. That's what Naaman in the Old Testament lesson wanted, wasn't it? I expected the prophet to come out here and wave his hand over the spot or do something dramatic. That's what we expect. Even in worship services, we talk about worship experiences. Well, let me tell you, Christ does not have to send thunder and lightning in order to save you. His word is sufficient. And it is trustworthy. You can take him at his word. If you're burdened by guilt, the scripture says, whoever confesses their sins, he is faithful and just to forgive them and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. Do you take him at his word? If you're worried about your salvation, Jesus said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him might not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe him? You see, Luke is taking this story, the cleansing of the 10 lepers, and he is applying it to the spiritual realm. And Jesus is saying, if you want to be cleansed, if you want to be made whole from everything that has separated you from God and from your fellow man, then stop trying to save yourself. Stop trying to pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and get your act together. Jesus is saying, I'm the only one that can cleanse you. Take me at my word. Well, at this point, everything changed for these 10 lepers, didn't it? Everything. Their lives were back. Their families were back. Hope was back. Life was back. And we'd almost expect the story to end at this point, wouldn't we? With those wonderful fairy tale words, and they lived happily ever after. But it doesn't end that way. It actually ends on a somewhat discordant note. For we're told that while the 10 went and were cleansed, one, recognizing what Jesus had done for him, came back, threw himself at the Lord's feet, and gave thanks to God. And Luke adds this explosive phrase, and he was a Samaritan. 10 cried out to Christ. 10 received compassion. 10 were healed. 1 came back, and he was the foreigner. Why? Why did this Samaritan, this leper of lepers, come back to Jesus when all the others didn't? I think there are two reasons. First of all, I think he came back because while all received compassion, he realized just how much compassion he had actually received. All the others were Jews. For all he knew, Jesus healed them because they were his fellow countrymen. But he was a Samaritan. Jesus was under no obligation to him, and yet Jesus had treated him the same as he had treated all the rest. That great hymn we sang a moment ago put it so well. In Christ there is no east nor west, in him no south or north, but one great fellowship of love throughout the whole wide earth. This man had been forgiven much. And so he loved much. That's the first reason. The second reason why I think he came back is because the others got from Jesus what they wanted. What did they want? They wanted to be healed physically, didn't they? That's what they longed for, and they got it. And so they had no more use of Jesus. But this man realized that Jesus was offering him more than just physical restoration. He was offering him an opportunity to become a part of a chosen race, a new Israel. And so he came back, and he fell at the Lord's feet, and he gave thanks. I want you to notice how today's lesson begins. It begins with the words, "On the way to Jerusalem." Jesus was going to Jerusalem. He encountered these 10 lepers on the way to Jerusalem. Well, what was he going to Jerusalem to do? He was going to Jerusalem to die. He was going to Jerusalem to mount the arms of the cross and there become the ultimate leper. We would pass all of our uncleanness to him. And by his stripes, we would be healed. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God. And this leper, this Samaritan leper, this leper of lepers realized it. And he came and he put his life before Jesus Christ. And Jesus said to him, "Rise, go your way. Your faith has what? Your faith has saved you." 10 cried out to Christ. 10 received mercy, 10 were healed, 1 was saved. Have you been saved? Do you realize you have a spiritual leprosy in your life and you cannot heal it? Are you prepared to bring your life before Jesus? He is a man of immense compassion. You can take him at his word. Come. Bring your broken, fallen, sinful lives before the cross today. And let Jesus make you clean. Let us pray. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for this story of the 10 lepers. They are a picture of our own lives. Grant us the grace to see ourselves as this Samaritan leper, as broken and fallen people. But help us to remember that you are the God whose property is always to have mercy. Help us to come before you, Jesus. Make us clean. For it's in your name we pray. Amen.